Pastor Jeff Johnson describing the struggle that some have in obeying the Lord.
God says, don't do it. And then we go, well, I'm just going to try. Okay. And you talk to people who said they didn't want to do what God said. And you see what happened. Come on. God is for us. Who can be against us? Sometimes ourselves, our stubbornness, our rebellion against what he says. Don't do it. And we go do it.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
It's true, isn't it? We can be our own worst enemy. It's also true that we have a friend who loves at all times and sticks closer than a brother. And what a difference that makes. Welcome to today's Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson. In 2 Chronicles chapter 33, we learn of Manasseh's utter folly, and through it all, the Lord sticks with him. Here with part one of God's Trophy of Grace, our teacher and Pastor Jeff Johnson with this edition of Sound Doctrine.
Hezekiah, remember, was very sick, and he turned to the wall, and he cried out to God, because he knew he was going to die. Isaiah said, you're dead, you're going to die, thus saith the Lord. That's the kind of guy that really encourages you, you know, and he says, you're going to die. And he goes, I don't want to die, like anybody would say. And he cried out to God, and he begged God, just remember all the good things that I did. And he did a lot of good things. His heart was right in the Lord. And he was second to David, remember. So he's crying out, asking for mercy, and just begging God. Know this, that we have a good Heavenly Father. And he answers three ways. Yes, you get it. No, you don't get it. And the dreaded wait for it. So we go to the Lord in prayer, and you know what I pray? Lord, I want your will. I don't want mine. I don't want you to give me something that's going to hurt me. You're my Father, so I'm not going to ask for stupid stuff. And if I do, please, don't give it to me. Watch over me, right? Well, God allowed Hezekiah to live 15 more years. And because he lived 15 more years, first of all, first thing that he did was he got proud. His head got big because God touched me. He gave me 15 more years. And Isaiah said, this is what the Lord says, and you got 15. So his heart got proud. Danger. But more than that, he got so proud, he wanted to show off all of his goodies to the Babylonians when they came in, just to find out what happened to you, man. We hear that you were sick and you were given 15 more years. This is incredible. Tell us all about it. And he was all proud. And then he started showing them all of the inner rooms of the temple, the shields where they were kept, the gold where it was kept. Isaiah said, what are you doing? What did you show these guys? He said, I showed him everything, man. It was cool. I was telling him everything, that the Lord gave us this and the Lord gave us that. And he opened the doors to these Babylonians. And they're going to run back to Nebuchadnezzar and say, Nebuchadnezzar, we have got a real gold mine over there in Jerusalem. And that sparked his thoughts to take it. So he blew it there. And then on top of everything else, he had a son whose name was Manasseh. Would be the worst king Judah ever had. A lot of people think, well, maybe he shouldn't have ever been born, because so many bad things happened in those 15 years. Everything was ruined, especially when this guy comes on the scene and Hezekiah leaves. So here we start out chapter 33 with... Actually, we ended 32 with Manasseh, the son, reigned in his stead. Manasseh had an incredible building program. He was 22 when he started it, and he ruined everything more than any king in Judah. He brought everything back to where it was before Hezekiah came. And God is going to use this man to show us that this is Manasseh, his trophy, all about grace. Manasseh, the worst king ever, who ruled and reigned for 55 years. That's more than David, more than Solomon, even more than his father Hezekiah. This man ruled a long time, so he did a lot of bad stuff. But God is not willing that what? Any perish, but that all come to repentance. And then there's that scripture in Peter where the Lord, through Peter, says, he says, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. You know, they're saying, when's the Lord coming back? When's the Lord? Well, he's going to come back. But that long suffering of the Lord, don't you look at it like so a few more can be saved? That he would wait so long? Why not right away? You know, we kind of question. But we're going to occupy till you come. We're going to see that others hear the good news and can get saved. So the Lord uses Manasseh in a very strange way, as we're going to see tonight. So verse 1, it says, here's God's trophy of grace. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. He was just a kid. So you know that there's some things going on there that, you know, he's not ruling and reigning by himself at 12. He's got a bunch of men behind him telling him how to do it and what to do. He's not going to be bold enough to tell these guys what to do. So he was a puppet. But it says he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. So he went way back to whereas when they came into the land, all kinds of perversion was taking place. All kinds of worship of idols was happening. From Hezekiah, who was the best king, now we go to Manasseh, who is the worst king. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah, his father, had broken down. So he's not even following in his father's footsteps. Something turned him off to the way of the Lord, and he rejected it. He's going his own way. He reared up altars of Balaam and made groves, and they worshiped in the groves. They had sexual orgies in the groves, and they worshiped all the host of heaven. Astrology, man, they were into it. And they served those gods. That sounds weird, doesn't it? They worshiped and served stupid gods that just sit there and look at you. They have eyes they can't see, ears they can't hear. They just do nothing but look at you. And they worship them and serve them. How do you do that? But they were ripped off and they were living a lie. Verse 4, also, they built altars in the house of the Lord. You talk about sacrilege. You talk about just coming into the temple of the Lord, where the presence of the Lord was, and setting up altars and images, whereof the Lord said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. This guy is worse than Ahaz and Jezebel when they were around, and they were pretty bad. And he built altars for all the host of heaven, and two courts of the house of the Lord. So they actually built these altars in both of the courts and in the temple area. Jupiter, Mercury, you know, Venus, the stars. They were into all of it. And this is what they were looking at. The horoscope thing. So dumb. You're a Pisces? Well, I'm a, you know, and they get into it. And they start talking about, well, that I can understand. What do you understand? Well, you know, you're that type of guy. And I get it. Over in 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy 4, Timothy, Paul warned him. He said, listen, 1 Timothy 4, 1, now the Spirit speaks expressly, and in the latter times, in the last days, some shall depart from the faith. Oh, they were doing it back there. They're doing it today. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Watch it. It's everywhere. It's all around. Satan worship. All kinds of twisted. You got it all out there. You got the cults. They're so deceiving. And so this was coming in. Now notice verse 6. And he caused his children to pass through the fire. You say, what does that mean? Well, that's a serious thing, because they were taking their babies and thinking that by putting their little baby, innocent little baby, in the hands of a red hot on fire image and sacrificing their firstborn, that they would be blessed in their home and in their lives. So what do we do today? We take that little baby that's in the womb and we put saline solution in and burn the baby and kill the baby. Why? Well, because we can't afford to have this baby right now. I can't afford to be pregnant right now. This is going to be a blessing for us down the road. Don't you know? It's not. It's going to be a heartache. Every date that comes around the next year, boom, boom. What'd you do? You sacrificed your child. To who? For what? So we're doing the same thing they did back then. We're sacrificing our babies, our children, by the thousands every day, all over the world. And that Molech, that god of the pagans, is active. And Satan demands it. You will sacrifice. You will take that kid out, because you're going to be blessed. This is for the future. Wow. Then notice, they were not only giving their children under the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom, also observed times, used enchantments, used witchcraft, dealt with familiar spirits and with wizards. He wrought much evil. So notice verse 2 up there. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now he's saying he did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke God to be angry. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 18, just jot it down, in verse 9. This is where God warned the children of Israel right before they were going into the land. And he warned them against the heathen practices. He said, when you are come, and this is Deuteronomy 18, 9, when you are come into the land which the Lord thy God gives thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that makes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire or to be burned as a sacrifice, or that uses divination, or an observer of the times, the horoscope, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, a consulter with familiar spirits, a wizard. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. Don't do it. And then I might add that he said, and when you get into the land, don't start to marry these pagans. Yeah, but he's so handsome. He's got a good job. He makes a lot of money. My mom always told me, marry somebody rich. He's rich. Seems that everything's going my way. Are you a Christian? Yes, I love the Lord. God says, don't do it. When you go into the land, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers, because they'll rip you off. You'll find yourself going away from your God instead of, well, no, I'm going to pray every day. He'll get saved eventually. I'm a very strong person, and I'm going to pray. You know, that's not going to get it. You're entering in to danger immediately into a relationship with someone who doesn't believe as you believe. God says, don't do it. And then we go, well, I'm just going to try. Okay. And you've talked to people who said they didn't want to do what God said. And you see what happened. Come on. God is for us. Who can be against us? Sometimes ourselves. Our stubbornness. Our rebellion against what he says. Don't do it. And we go do it. And he set up, verse 7, a carved image. This is special, you know. An idol which he had made. He just made an idol in the house of God and set it up. You know what he's saying? Not God's will, my will be done. I will have an idol in the house of God. I will worship that idol in this place where God was. Of which God had said to David and Solomon, his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Now, this is God's promise. But God's promises are conditional at times. There's conditions, and rightly so. You know, if you will do this and this, then I will do this and this. That's what he does. Now, today, what does God say? If you will receive my son, I will give you amazing grace. I will give you heaven. I will give you peace that passes human understanding right now. And a joy unspeakable and full of glory. I will give you these things. But you must seek me with your whole heart. That makes sense, right? And then I'm going to bless you. And you're going to, my hand's going to be on your life, on your family. And you're going to behold my mighty hand. Even in the tough times, in the warfare times, when it gets tough. But notice verse 8. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel out of the land which I have appointed for your fathers. That's my promise to you. You'll be able to stay here forever. So that they will take heed. Notice, here's the condition. To all that I have commanded them. According to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinance by the hand of Moses. So that's just the stipulation. You guys hang in there with me, and you're going to hang in there in the land. You're going to be blessed in the land. Everything is going to go well. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err. He said, I don't care. I don't care what God said, what he did. I don't care about this God. And notice, to do worse than the heathen, worse evil. So it went from he did evil, he did much evil, and then in verse 9, he's doing the worst evil than the heathen. I mean, he's going down into the darkness, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. Hey, God cleaned the land. He went before Israel, and the darkness fled. And he gave them houses they didn't build. He gave them land they didn't till. I mean, he blessed them in the promised land if they would just seek him. Now, if you sow to the flesh, you reap what? Corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you reap everlasting life. They're choosing to just go for it and reap corruption. Notice verse 10, and the Lord spoke to Manasseh and to his people, probably through Isaiah, but they would not hearken. See, Isaiah was the prophet at this time. They wouldn't listen. They didn't have ears to hear what the Spirit was saying. So what happens? Well, when God sees that, you might as well just cry out Ichabod, because Ichabod means the Spirit of the Lord has left the building. He says, okay, you don't want to have me? You don't want to worship me? You want to serve this stuff? Then I'm gone. And he pulls his hand off. Wow, God's presence gone. Now, tradition says that Manasseh had Isaiah killed, probably because he was bugging him about, thus saith the Lord this, thus saith the Lord that. I don't want to hear that stuff anymore. Take him out. There's people right now, today, that just can't handle it. They want Christians to be dead. Get out of here. So what happens? Well, you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. Now, what's interesting, and I want you to see this in Luke 15, that this is the story of the prodigal son, and he bugged his dad so much. He said, Dad, just give me my inheritance. Just give me it. I got to go. I just can't handle this place. I'm out of here. So his dad gave it to him, and he went out. We know the story. But then when he was out there, he lost everything. Oh, isn't that an old story? He blew it all. Went to Vegas. It's gone. Wine, women, and song. Bought a new car. Crashed it. You know, I mean, the whole old, you know, the story you hear all the time. Then he tried to get a job, and he ended up feeding the pigs. ended up sitting in the mud with the pigs, and he ended up, he didn't have any food, so he started eating with the corn that the pigs were eating. He started eating it, and then he just said, oh gosh, what am I doing? He came to his senses, it says. That means he was insane. He went insane, and he woke up. Thank God. It says that he came to himself. He says, I'm going home to my father. I've sinned against heaven before thee. And he rose up and he came to his father, and his father was waiting for him. In fact, so much so that he ran to grab him. He ran to him. First time you ever see God run. He wanted him so much. See, the Father here is an illustration of the Heavenly Father who loves to see his prodigals come home. Father saw him. He had compassion. He kissed him. He fell on him. Father, I have sinned. The father says, hey, bring forth the best robe. Bring forth the ring. Put it on his hand. That's important. Your inheritance goes on. Shoes on his feet. Bring here the fatted calf and let us be merry and party. Because I had a son who was lost and now he's found. Great story. And then there's also Proverbs 22:6. Raise up a child in the way he should go. Parents, it has everything to do with what we do at a young age. Moses even was raised by his mother, even in Egyptian hands, for 3 years, nursed by her. Something that just connected. He didn't ever forget. And he came the full circle. But I love that verse because it's a hope for those parents who, you raised that child, and you did your best, and now that child is like Manasseh. He's a mess. He's out there. And he's not obeying anybody or nothing. He is, and I hear the stories, homeless. He's going from job to job. He's into drugs here and drinking here. You know, the old story continues. And you're sitting there praying and hoping and praying and hoping. Well, I hope you're encouraged when we get to the end of this story. So God doesn't give up. Notice what happens in verse 11. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Syria. I mean, they just blitzed the whole area of Jerusalem, just captured everybody, put them in chains, and especially Manasseh. Oh, we got the king. Put him in among the thorns, and they bound him with fetters. He was totally in captivity and bound. And they carried him to Babylon. Wow. Well, listen, there's a scripture that says that God will not always strive with a man. There comes a time where enough is enough and God lowers the boom. And it's not pretty. Look at here. Look what happened. God loves us enough to put us in a spot so we will cry out. He puts us in a fix to fix us.
We will hear how that fix the king is in will fix him next time on Sound Doctrine. Pastor Jeff Johnson's message is called God's Trophy of Grace, and it is based out of 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Now, you can request a copy of today's study on CD when you give us a call, toll free, 800-353-7553. The suggested donation is $5. And help us out by mentioning today's date. Again, when you call 800-353-7553. You can also order resource materials from us and even replay today's program at sounddoctrineradio.org. We also have an app, and that's a great way to stay connected with us and listen to some of Pastor Jeff's teachings as well. Look for Calvary Chapel Downey in the App Store or Google Play. Our friend in the ministry, Pastor Ed Taylor, has just released a new book. It's called Face Your Fears, and the timing couldn't be better as many are facing fears right now. This little book doesn't take long to read, but it will certainly help you move from fear to faith and trust in God. Get a copy today, and maybe an extra one or two to hand out by visiting sounddoctrineradio.org or by calling 800-353-7553. Please also remember us in your prayers and in your giving to the Lord. We believe people desperately need the sound doctrine contained in God's Word in these difficult last days. And you can help us bring it to a world in need. Your generosity will help us continue on this station and others like it. You can make a secure donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org or by calling 800-353-7553. Well, that is all for today. Thank you for listening to Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff. We'll get back into 2 Chronicles next time. This is a presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey.